Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently taking us verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. And coming up, we're taking an in-depth look at each component of the armor of God. We're turning in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 and studying verses 13 through 17 as we go back to basics.
So here we are, and we come now to the practical application in regard to the whole issue of spiritual warfare. We come today to the topic of the armor of God. So we've been looking at the principalities and powers. We've been, we considered initially, of course, just the, generally speaking, the topic of spiritual warfare. And we've looked more specifically at the devil and his tactics, his wiles, and those kinds of things, but now we move into the portion where we're exhorted to put on the armor of God. So we want to talk about the armor of God. We want to talk about what it is and what it means to put it on, and we're going to do this in two parts. So today we're going to do the first five pieces of the armor that are mentioned, and they're predominantly defensive in the sense that these are things that we need to apply to ourselves that are going to defend us from the enemy and keep us from losing ground. But then as we move forward into the next teaching, next week we'll come to the more offensive aspect of the weaponry, and that of course would be the sword of the Spirit. So let's read over a couple of verses here. Verse 14, stand therefore having... Or verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation. So those are the five that we'll consider together today. Now, when we talk about the armor of God, Paul uses this picture. He paints for us a mental picture. And each of these things, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, of course, they're symbols of spiritual things. And so there's a spiritual truth behind the symbol. And as we look at each one of these things, as you look at the everything that's mentioned here, what you discover is that the armor of God is really the application of the eternal truths of Scripture. That's really what the armor of God is. It's the application of the eternal truths of Scripture. And so to put on the armor is to apply those truths to our lives. That's what it means. We're taking the eternal truths of Scripture and we're applying them to our lives in these various areas. And so that's how we put on the armor of God. So everything that we're going to talk about both today and next week really revolves around the Word of God. And beginning with what Paul speaks of here as having girded your waist with truth. Or, of course, he's talking about a belt, the belt of truth. Now, in the situation with the Roman soldier, the belt was the foundational piece of the armor in the sense that all of the other pieces of the armor attached to the belt. And so you you had to have this. This was essential to the equipment that you were given. And so Paul says, gird your waist, just like the Roman soldier had to have this belt on. Paul says, you gird your waist with the truth. Our lives are to be undergirded by the truth of God's word. And as I look at this here, I think a good way to understand what Paul is referring to here would be that in the bigger picture of life, or what we commonly refer to today as a worldview, our worldview is firmly fixed in Scripture. So we see the world through the lens of Scripture. Everybody has a lens through which they view life. Everybody has a certain philosophy about life. They have certain presuppositions that lend to that particular worldview. As a believer in Christ, our worldview is to be a biblical worldview. And that's what Paul is calling for here. That our lives be so saturated in the truth that everything we look at, everything that we contemplate, it all goes through the filter of God's word. We're mentally living in that context. I see things through the lens of God's word. And that's what he's talking about here. I think primarily he's talking about immersing ourselves in, saturating ourselves with the truth of God. And on a practical level, although we'll talk about this more in the next study, on a practical level, I think this is where we need to get the big picture of Scripture, the major themes of Scripture, where we understand, like, for example, origins, our origins. So a lot of the ways people view life has to do with how they view origins. How did we originate? Where did we come from? If you have a biblical view that you came from God, that you're created in the image of God, that you're therefore accountable to God, then you're going to behave radically differently than the person who says, no, there is no God, there is no creation. I just came about through natural processes. That's going to translate into a completely different way of living. So this is where we get the big picture of God's truth, that we are created beings, that we are subject to God, the nature of God, that the God who created us is a God of love. He's also a God of righteousness, and so he calls us to live according to a certain standard. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of redemption. He's a God of power, all of those kinds of things. And those are the big themes that we get when we study the Bible in just a larger sense, you know, the Genesis to Revelation type of a perspective. And so it's important that we immerse ourselves in God's truth from cover to cover. And that's the idea when Paul speaks of putting on the belt of truth. You see, as Christians, we need to realize that the enemy cannot be withstood by human reason, tradition, personal charisma, or any other natural kind of means. The enemy is only going to be pushed back or subdued through the truth of God's word. So we've got to be immersed in God's word. We've got to be living in it. We've got to be walking in it. And applying it to our lives and the things that we daily encounter. So that's the first, I think, understanding of what he's talking about here, girding your waist with the truth. But then I think there's also another part to it, and that would be truthfulness or integrity. Of course, if you're a person who's really interested in truth, then it would seem to follow from that you would be concerned to be truthful, to be a person who has a high priority of truth, but yet doesn't themselves live according to the truth or speak the truth. That would be rather inconsistent. So we're going to be truthful. We're going to be people of integrity. We're going to be people who can be trusted. And again, living according to the truth, applying the truth, being people who have a high priority on truth and integrity, these are the kinds of things that beat back, in a sense, the devil's advances. And so, the belt of truth. And then secondly, Paul here speaks of the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate, as you can understand, as you think about it, covers the vital organs, would cover the area of the chest and the abdomen. Of course, we have our heart, our lungs, our liver, our pancreas. All of those things are right in that region. And in the biblical world, so with us today as well, we often do as well, we understand this area to be sort of the seat of our emotions, right? We say things like, I love that with all my heart. So we're expressing, some emotional kind of a thing that we're seeing as originating in our heart. The term compassion, the idea behind it in the ancient world was the old translation, the King James Version, oftentimes translates compassion as bowels of mercy. Now, when you think of bowels, you normally don't think of mercy simultaneously, right? But they translated it that way because of the way you feel. Compassion is something that you feel, right? You see somebody and there's something internal. There's a feeling, there's an emotion that transpires there. It says concerning Jesus that he looked at the people, he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And it says there he was doubled over with compassion. So the idea there is that, these bowels of mercy. So anyway, since that's the area where that was considered to originate from, the breastplate then protects us in the realm of our emotions, in the realm of our feelings. And it's the breastplate of righteousness. Now, when we talk about righteousness in the Bible, we're talking about right living, but we're also talking about what's called the imputed righteousness. And that's what we have as a gift from God, from Christ, that puts us in the position of being righteous. So when we think of putting on the breastplate of righteousness, we need to think of walking in that imputed righteousness of Christ. I realize that my righteousness does not come from me, but it comes from the Lord. It's his gift to me through faith. But because I've experienced that gift of his righteousness, that will translate into right living. If there's never a translation from imputed righteousness to practical righteousness, then you have to wonder, is there really imputed righteousness? If there's imputed righteousness, there is ultimately going to be practical righteousness as well. And so as we, at times, that Satan will attack us, as we've already looked at in quite a bit of detail, he'll attack us in our emotions. There are times when, from the standpoint of feelings, we don't feel saved. We don't feel righteous. So it's at those times I need to remember, no, I've got a breastplate of righteousness. I have a righteousness that is there regardless of how I feel. And then, of course, on the practical level, there are times when we don't feel like doing what is right. And it's there, again, that we put on the breastplate of righteousness. And we let that imputed righteousness, we let it translate into the practical righteousness, the holy living. And so the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. And then he says, in having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Another translation reads, for shoes put on a readiness to preach the gospel of peace. Now, with, again, the Roman soldier, each one of these things that Paul mentions here, those who read this letter originally, the Ephesians, the picture would have been crystal clear in their minds. Everybody knew how a Roman soldier was attired in those days. And they had a specific kind of a boot that was like an open-toed sandal type of a thing, but it was more like a boot, and it had a studded sole. And the purpose in the studded sole was to give the person a firm grounding. So the soldier couldn't easily be pushed back. There was no slippage that was going to take place. You know, if you've ever tried to do something and your feet have slipped out from under you, you know that that's a huge problem. And especially if you're in some kind of a conflict, you want to be able to stand firmly without being moved in that kind of a way. So that's what the boots or the shoes would have done for the soldier. So for us, the idea, I think, is that we're grounded in the gospel and we're going forth with that gospel. We're not being pushed back or moved, but we're actually advancing. We're gaining ground. There's no slippage, so to speak, that's taking place. You know, if you think about it, if every one of us got up every day and put on the boots of the gospel, if every one of us every day just had that mindset that I'm going out into the battlefield, I'm going out as a soldier, I'm going out on a rescue mission, I'm going out to see people brought out of darkness into light, I'm going out to be used by God to see people delivered from the power of Satan and brought under the authority and the power of God, that's a powerful thing to understand as you go forth in your daily life. Are we thinking like that? Do we think like that? We need to think like that, because that's what God's called us to do in this world. He's called us to reach people with the gospel. And I think just on a practical level, if we go forth with a readiness in our minds to minister the gospel to people, I think that will naturally have a protective aspect to it for us. Because I'm going to be making sure that I'm not engaging in things that are going to hinder that from happening or hinder me from being able to really do what I need to do when the opportunity arises. I'm not going to be doing things that are going to cause my feet to slip, so to speak, when that opportunity is right there before me. No, my feet are firmly fixed in the gospel. So it's a readiness that Paul's speaking of, a preparedness to go forth with the gospel. And then fourthly, he says, and taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, we talked extensively about the fiery darts of the wicked one. And the reality is we will never be out of range of Satan's fiery darts. But by taking up the shield of faith, we can quench those fiery darts. Faith is a huge component in our Christian lives and in our progress as believers and in our advancement in serving God. We have to have faith. So to take up the shield of faith is really an act of trust in the Word of God, in the promises of God. God gives us His Word. He gives us promises. He speaks to our lives. He gives us direction. You know that. Now, the important thing is to believe it and to keep believing it. What the devil wants to do is he wants to rob us of those things. He wants to get us to stop believing, stop trusting, stop having faith in God's Word, in the promises that God has given through His Word. So we've got to take that shield of faith. And when the enemy comes in with suggestions that, you know, this isn't true, or God is not faithful, or those promises really don't apply to you, it's by faith that you say, no, I believe what God has said. I believe what God has told me. You know, I have a Bible at home. I don't use it anymore, but I still have it. And I have promises highlighted from over 25 years ago. And, you know, God would speak something to me and I would write it down. And these are just a handful of promises, but they were so certain when God spoke them to me. They affected me so profoundly at the moment that I marked it down. I underlined it. I highlighted it. I put the date next to it and then awaited the fulfillment of it. But you know, in some cases, the fulfillment was not for 10, 15, 20, 25 years. And guess what happens during that time? The enemy comes along and says, oh, God, those promises, you just imagined that. God never told you any of that stuff. That's never going to happen. What are you doing trusting in that? Or why are you still believing that? Look how things are. That was just you, wishful hoping. And those kinds of things come along. Now, another part of it that's a reality is when God gives those kinds of promises, at the moment, he gives them in such a way that there's practically no doubt whatsoever that this is God speaking. He comes in a powerful way, and he just shows you that this is true and this is what I'm going to do. And it's so powerful, you don't even doubt for a moment that it was the Lord. But what happens is, as time goes on and those things aren't immediately fulfilled, those same emotions and feelings dissipate. And then you find yourself looking at the same passage and looking at what you'd marked in your Bible next to it. And you're thinking, wow, how did I ever even get that out of that? You know, it's not saying the same thing to me right now. I had that many times. I would want to revisit the passage and go over it. And I was looking for that same kind of assurance. But, you know, that feeling didn't come, that feeling of assurance. But the word was still there. It was still just exactly what it had said before. I just wasn't feeling it like I did. And that's where you have to really take the shield of faith. That's where you have to say, okay, regardless of how I feel or don't feel at the moment, I still believe God. I still believe that God spoke this word to me, and I'm going to stand on it. That's what it is to have faith, is to keep trusting in the word of God. It's to keep trusting in the promises of God. And we're going to do that our entire lives. Because you know what? God calls you to live by faith. It's part of what we do. We live by faith. Now, quite frankly, I would prefer not to live by faith. I'd like to have it all crystal clear in front of me, but it never works that way. It just never works that way. God doesn't let it work that way.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more spiritual insights from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com. Click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called The Armor of God, and the resource number is BBE0046. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together.
Our God, you reign forever. Our hope.
Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.